Sally McKay Roper, our speaker today, works for the Devon and Somerset Fire and Rescue, a lady that I met many years ago that we were at the pit, when I was working for the Macular Society, and she is very much involved with the fire safety visits that you've all been told about, but today is sort of an update from Sally and a reminder, and perhaps going back to some of the basics, Sally, as well, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine. Absolutely fine.
Lovely.
So,
thank
you. So thank you for inviting me to come along and speak with you today, Judy and the team. My name's Sally McKay-Roper. I work, as Judy says, from Devon Somerset Fire Rescue Service, and I'm based in North Devon in Biddeford. So as Judy said, met her many years ago through Macula. And today I'm here really to talk to you about the home safety visits and what we can offer as a service, which in this day and age I think is really, really important and really good, because at the moment, as you all know, everything is going up. As soon as we turn on the news and turn on the television, all bills are going up, absolutely everything. And our service is free. So you don't have to pay a penny. Don't pay for the visit, and you don't pay for any equipment that we might provide. So that's a really, really important thing to remember. And the other thing is that the visits we do, which are home safety visits, we'll come in and we will not tell you off. Lots of people think you're going to get told off, but you don't. And all we'll do is come in, and it's just like having a fresh set of eyes of somebody coming into your home and just talking to you about some of the risks that you might not have thought about, really. We can all forget quite easily. So it's giving that advice and sort of pointing out things that could be a risk of having a fire. And our main objective is just to reduce those risks. So once we've been in and given you the advice, you might hopefully change your behaviour, habits. We're all human, so we all do silly things. And know then you might be hopefully safer. And also, we'll check all your equipment. So that's really important. We'll come in and we'll check your smoke alarms and make sure you've got enough smoke alarms, and check your carbon monoxide alarms, and check if you need one. And we have all sorts of other equipment that we can provide. So the first thing I'm going to talk to you about are smoke alarms. And everybody should have smoke alarms in their home. And they should have them on the ceiling. So they shouldn't be on the wall. They should be on the ceiling. And they should be, you should have one on every level of the home. So that's quite easy to remember then. If you've got a two-story, that's, two or three-story, three. And they're on the ceiling. So upstairs, they would be up in between the bedrooms, up on the ceiling. And downstairs, they'd be on the ceiling in between sort of hall stairs, landing. And you should test the alarm. So that's another big thing for us. Our technicians that go and do the home safety visits, they quite often go into someone's home and they're shown their smoke alarm proudly, and they say, yep, we've got a smoke alarm. And then the technician will go and test it for them, and it's not working. Or sometimes they haven't even got batteries in. So it's really important that you test your alarm. And we really recommend that you test them at least once a week, if not once a month. So you can see it needs to be tested regularly. If you don't test them, have no idea if they're working. The battery could just go off. If you went on holiday or you went out, it might start beeping and then stops. And then you come home and you wouldn't know if you hadn't tested it. So that's really important. And the other thing that's quite interesting with our alarms now is that we have our smoke alarms have a 10-year battery life. So quite often with the older ones, you're having to change them regularly. It might be every couple of years or every year. We don't want you to have to do that. We don't want people having to get up on steps and ladders, particularly as they get older or have disabilities or mobility issues. That's not good for us, because we don't want you to try and climb ladders and steps trying to test the alarm. So we will provide you with a testing stick so that you can test them. And also with a 10-year battery life, you're not going to have to keep changing the batteries. And that's the other thing. We don't want you getting up on steps and ladders to try and change batteries. And if it's going to last 10 years, well, that's great. You won't have to worry about it. And then if it does start to bleep after 10 years, then we can come in and replace it free. So we can provide all that free. So that's a normal smoke alarm. The second smoke alarm that I'd like to talk about is the hard of hearing alarm. So if you can't hear very well, and you might have hearing aids and you might wear those during the day, which is great, but then at night you might actually take those hearing aids out but not think about that you might not hear your smoke alarm. So it's really important if you wear hearing aids, perhaps do a little test and just get somebody in, and you go in the bedroom, take your hearing aids out and get somebody to test the smoke alarm and see if they can hear it. And then if they can hear it, you know, then that's okay. But if you can't hear it, then we need to give you a hard of hearing alarm. Now, the hard of hearing alarm is a special alarm. So it's like a smoke alarm. It goes off as normal. It then sends a wireless signal to a plastic pad, which just small, very small, goes under the pillow. That will vibrate to wake you up. And then you've got a box by the side of the bed that will flash. So it's really important because it will tell you there's a problem, and then you need to know, you know, then to get up and you need to get out. Technically, it's for people that live alone because hopefully you've got somebody with you that would be able to wake you up. However, if your partner's got hearing issues, or your partner's got dementia, or your partner sleeps in a different room or level of the home, then you need to speak to the technician about having one of those alarms. So that's a really, really good one. That's hard of hearing. Carbon monoxide alarms, we do ask people to have those. They are really important because carbon monoxide, you can't taste, see, or smell the gas. So you really need them, and the best thing to have carbon monoxide alarms for is things like open fireplace, wood burner, Rayburn, gas boiler, oil Rayburn, wood burner. That was the other one. So that if you've got one of those alarms, they generally go on the wall. So that's where they're normally fitted. And you need to test those as well. The symptoms of carbon monoxide poisoning, if you should ever need it, which hopefully you never would, but should you, it's things like headaches, feeling dizzy, sick, tired, confused, shortness of breath. So if you've got any old appliances or you're burning fuel in your wood burners and things, and you haven't got carbon monoxide and you've got any of those symptoms, obviously we want you to call us and make sure that we can come out to you, but also get out and get some fresh air. But the most important thing really is to have your carbon monoxide alarm, because that will tell you straight away. And again, that needs to be tested. You must test it.
So can I ask you a question about a joint alarm? Do carbon monoxide alarms, so I'll give you a for instance. We have open fires. I have got an alarm on my ceiling that I know is definitely smoke alarm, and it's connected electronically. Would that also be carbon monoxide, or could it be carbon monoxide too?
I don't know.
Because I'm going to, I mean, just listening to what you said, I've always had, so that my previous home, I had separate, both of them were separate. Yeah. But it does occur to me that maybe I need to revisit that and just make sure that it's a definite cover for both.
Yes, I would check on it, because I can't, obviously I don't know because I can't see it, but generally speaking we would say that they are separate. I think with lots of things going on at the moment, there's all sorts of new things that come out. We certainly don't do them together, but I would double check and just see.
Yes, I'll check that.
That's a good point, because it might be a combined one, because you can get combined ones, and then obviously the combined ones would be up on the ceiling.
Yeah,
but if not,
check.
Then you need to get separate ones.
A separate one. Well, it's certainly a question. It's a question that will come up on the helpline, I think, again and again. So I'm pleased I've asked the question. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's no problem at all. So,
Sally, the other question, I'm going to jump in as Tess has too. I've been, had a conversation with people that are living in residential accommodation, and they will say, but my smoke alarm is wired in. I don't need to test it. How should I reply?
Still test it. So what we hear from is things like the housing associations, landlords and things. So they all have those alarms, and they'll go out and test those. I think they only have to do them every, I'm not sure 100%, it's either every 6 months or every year that they'll go out and test those, make sure those alarms are working.
Yeah.
But I think it is still the onus of the person to test those alarms to make sure they work.
Yeah. So, and they're not testing in that instance. It's not for the battery, because they get very confused. I know my battery's working, they'll say I tested it. But actually what they're testing for is to make sure the smoke alarm is working, even if it's wired in.
Yes, because the battery is only the backup. So the battery bit is, in case there's a power cut,
yes,
then the battery backup will kick in.
Ah, okay, I've never thought about that. Of course there is a backup in case there's a power cut.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
So that's what usually happens with the hardwired ones.
Yes.
And also with hardwired ones, even if you've got them in your home, they don't last forever. Everybody thinks they last forever. They don't. So we usually say to people after about 8 years to just make sure you get an electrician to just check them, because I think it's the sensors that can go.
Okay. That's a really good point for us, because so many of our clients are living in some sort of supported living, and I think they make that, you know, and it might be worth saying, you know, in your time, have you noticed anybody coming in and have they ever checked it? Because I wonder how many people, you know, the organisations that own these buildings, I wonder
how
often
should,
they think.
Yeah, they should. The organisations that run generally the housing associations, isn't it?
Yeah.
They should be going in regularly. Don't quote me, but I mean, they could even ask their housing provider and say, how often should you be in? But I think it's usually 6 months, but certainly once a year, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
And if they're not, then just talk to us, because we've got what's called the business safety team. So I'm on the community safety team.
Yeah.
And we work with domestic homes, but business safety, they have a random list every week of commercial properties that they'll go out to within Devon and Somerset. So locally here up in our lot have, you know, they might have a list of a pub, an estate agent, a care home, a hospital, anything like that, restaurant. And they'll make an appointment with the responsible owner or the landlord, and just go and visit them, and then they will work with them to check that they are compliant to the Fire Safety Order 2005.
Brilliant. That's really
So if any of your clients find out, you know, that they're not having that, then if you let us know, then we can speak to the housing providers and say, look, what's going
choose
on.
Choose to go and visit them.
Yeah,
that's really helpful.
And it doesn't have to come from anywhere, because we just have a random list every week. So,
so they don't know.
From anybody worried. Yeah. No. And the other thing about that as well is that if anybody should be visiting, I don't know if anybody visits people in their homes, but if they are perhaps in a block of flats, for instance, if there was rubbish on the stairs or a fire exit was blocked or locked, then that's known as communal areas, and that's we would ask people to let us know, because again we would pass that on to business safety and they would go and visit.
Right, that's excellent. Thank you.
Right. Yeah. So, so we can provide, obviously, the smoke alarms and the hard of hearing alarms. We also have fire retardant bedding if people are smoking in bed. We have fire retardant blankets and throws if they're smoking in their chairs. Now, smoking is a massive risk, so we always, you know, would rather people smoke outside and not in their homes. But obviously, there are people that will smoke in their homes. So, you know, it's just being careful that you put your cigarettes out. You don't put them in the bin, you know, you put them in a metal ashtray and put them out properly. Don't drink while you're smoking, all sorts of things like that. But it's just being very, very careful with, obviously, things like that. Every 6 days, someone in the UK will actually die from a fire started from a cigarette. So it is really, really high risk.
Every 6 days?
Yeah. So
that's a very sobering thought.
So that's just to be really careful. The other thing, again, like cigarettes, is then obviously candles. So candles, we are talking about, we don't like people using candles really, and we would actually prefer people to use the battery-powered tea lights. So they look just like candles. They're really great. You can even get remote control ones, which I didn't realise, but we got a set of candles that are battery operated, the flame flickers around, and you've got little remote controls. You don't even have to move, you know, to go and find and switch them off. Candles are a problem, and we are looking at, and I'm sure you will be, with the winter coming up now, especially when October comes up, when the new charges are going up again, we will be finding people trying to heat themselves with unsuitable heat sources. So
yes.
What we're talking about is, you know, to be very mindful, to try and think about using oil-filled radiators, to use electric blankets, but make sure, you know, they're in working order. And also a lot of the fuel property agencies are now talking also about getting the heated throws. It's a bit like an electric blanket, but rather than putting it on the bed, it's a soft throw, and you can heat it and you have it on you. And they're really cheap, so they're, you know, pennies to they cost pennies to heat, so they're a good thing to have as well.
Well, that's good to know, because I think that's another question that is likely, or another conversation that will happen with the helpline, is that you know, we do get a lot of callers who are in financial difficulty, and that's something I think we could be proactive with suggesting, yeah, rather than waiting for the accident to happen.
It might be worth you speaking to the likes of Navigate. I don't know if you've heard of them, that help with all debt, and then they look at all fuel debt as well. And
they pass it on
to all the fuel property agencies as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Sally. And we have got somebody from one of the agencies coming as a speaker in the same ways. But I think you just made me realise that it's about tying those ends together.
Yes, it is.
And I think that's how, it's the story, isn't it? It will encourage somebody to make a change.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll go in and maybe look at the heating side of things. And then if we find that people, so we'll do all the fire risks and look at reducing all the risks and giving all the advice and give out as much equipment as we can. And then if the personal people are happy for us to, we'll look at them and sort of say, well, is there anything else you need? And if they do need anything else and they're happy, we can refer them on to the other agencies as well. So you say, like you say, it's a story. We can then pass them on to perhaps your poverty or to debts or anyone else that they might need support with, just so that they're happy. But it is going to be, I'm sure everybody's aware, sadly, it's going to be a bigger problem in this winter coming up, because things are going to cost everybody a lot of money. So we want to make sure everybody's safe and warm. So those are the things that we offer. We have an Energenie that you can plug in your appliance into, which is like a rundown timer. So if you're forgetting to switch something off, we can give you this little adapter, and that's quite useful. We, as I said, we have the stick. We have extension leads, so we don't like the square block plugs. There's a lot of sort of electricity going into those. They can get a bit heavy and pull out of the wall slightly. So we will say to people to have an extension lead. However, you have to be careful with extension leads, because you can't overload them. So, you know, you wouldn't be able to put a washing machine or a tumble dryer into an extension lead, or a hairdryer or an iron or things like that. And not allowed to exceed 13 amps for the socket. And if you think about hairdryer, that's in our booklet, we've got 10 amps. So, you know, if you put a hairdryer in and then something else, you're going to have problems.
Overloading, just be mindful
of overloading. And also not to put an extension lead into another extension lead, which does happen, goes across the room quite often. So we don't like that. Other things to think about, charging devices. So don't charge those at night, and don't charge them when you go out. So if you've got a laptop or an iPad or computer, just make sure you charge it for only the amount of times needed, and just do it while you're awake. And the other thing about that as well is things like dishwashers, washing machines and tumble dryers. Again, don't put them on when you go out, and don't put them on at night. And especially with tumble dryers, make sure you clean the fluff out of them so that they're kept clean. A lot of our fires that we go to at the moment are, sadly, kitchen fires. So that's a really important thing to remember, to try and think about cooking, to be safe with cooking, to remember to switch things off. We are going to start probably carrying timers, mechanical timers for people, because people do get distracted, especially as you get older, and you forget things. You forget, you know, turn around doing one thing and then turn around and suddenly you've got something's caught a light. So the thing with hot oil, if you've got it in a pan, just have the smallest amount of oil possible. And if it starts to smoke, then obviously it's too hot. And if a pan catches fire, don't put a wet tea towel over it. That is the old advice that everybody always tells me. But don't do that because it can make it worse. And also, unless you know what you're doing and you've got it over there exactly over the pot, it could, you know, you could catch a light. So the main thing for us is to say, turn it off a heat source if you can. And if not, leave it and then just get out and close every door behind you. The most important thing about this is close as many doors because it will stop fire from spreading. And if you go to bed at night, if you can close any doors, I know a lot of people have got pets, but honestly, if you close the door, it will stop it from spreading. So really important. And then going back to obviously cooking, you know, if you get distracted, the phone rings or the doorbell rings or there's pets or grandchildren or, you know, flying around, just be really careful. And alcohol's another one. Don't cook, obviously, with alcohol. We don't like that. Now, there's another campaign we're working on at the moment, which is emollient creams and moisturizers. So obviously a lot of people put that onto their skin, which we're really happy, you know, they're going to do that. But just to be mindful that the when you're putting that on your skin, it can build up on the fabric of your clothing or bedding, you know, if you're putting it on all the time. And then if that dries, and then if you're then near a heat source or naked flame, that's when it can increase the flammability. So just be mindful if you're a smoker, or you're lighting a gas hob or an open fire and you're using creams, and it should soak into your sleeve or anything. Or if you're sitting near a heater, just be really mindful of that, that it is flammable. So, you know, just be really careful. It doesn't wash out in the washing machine. So, and we have had since 2010, there's been confirmed, and it's very difficult to obviously confirm somebody's died from a fire from using the creams, but there have been 56 deaths since 2010 nationally. So, and that's confirmed. So I don't want to scare you because I don't want people not using the creams because it's really important for your skin, but it's just being mindful. Like anything, you know, not everybody has a washing machine fire or a dishwasher fire, but we do go to them. So it's just reducing the risk. And, you know, if you can turn it off and you don't have it on when you're out, well, great. That's, you're reducing your risk. So, again, it's just being mindful about those creams. The other thing, I know I'm sort of, sorry, I'm switching to and fro a little bit, but I'd forgotten about this one as well. With heating is the wheat bag. So, you know, you have wheat bags they smell of wheat, usually a bit of lavender, really. And they quite often look like hot water bottles, or they used to. And people put those in the microwave and heat them up. Don't put those in your beds. And that's another thing we're thinking that people could possibly start doing a bit more of. But some people do it anyway. They can carry on heating up. So, you know, they will continue to heat and then they can catch a light. So they are absolutely for just putting on your body during the day. So you've got them on you. Follow the instructions, so don't overheat them in the microwave. And then you'll be all right. I'm just going to... So we've spoken about heaters, we've spoken about candles, smoking, charging, we've done that. So now I'm going to talk about getting out. So the big thing about getting out, you know, we can give you all the advice possible. We can have all the smoke alarms ding-a-linging, you know, or screaming at you. But what are you going to do? So the thing about getting out is you've got our technicians can come in and look at the layout of your home. I can't do that. I'm on the phone. I haven't got a clue. Even if you told me, I wouldn't be able to visualize it very well. But they're there, so they can have a look at it. And they'll be able to tell you what to do and how to get out. So it might be that, you know, you can have a very easy exit route. You haven't got mobility issues. And you can just go straight down the stairs from perhaps upstairs being asleep. And you can go straight out, and that's absolutely fine. The one thing I would say is if a smoke alarm was set off, and you're upstairs in your bedroom fast asleep, when you wake up, go to the door, touch the back of the door with the back of your hand, just to see if it's hot. If it's hot, don't go out, obviously. If it's not hot, then you can go out. And, you know, if there's not too much smoke, and as I say, you've got a really easy exit route, fine, then we want you to get out. That's the best thing, we want you out. But if it's a difficult, well, if the door's hot, obviously you're not going to open it because there's going to be a lot of smoke on the other side. If you open the door and you think, oh, actually, I've got quite a long way to get to, and, yeah, it's a bit of smoke, I'm not quite sure. The thing about that would be is that if it's going to take you a while, sadly, our firefighters often find people collapsed behind the front door where they've tried to get out and they've taken too much smoke inhalation.
Yeah.
So actually, it might be safer for you to stay where you are. And if you stayed where you are, always have a telephone in your bedroom. Make sure your door, you know, obviously the door's closed, put a blanket or something along the bottom so that the cracks, there's no smoke can come through, and open the windows. Dial 999, and if you can tell them where you are, you know, if you're in the back bedroom or a front bedroom, if you've got people in the house, obviously they're going to congregate with you, and we can then come and rescue you. If you're in housing associations or housing providers, obviously it's different because they have their own rules. Quite often they have a stay put policy, and the stay put policy is usually because that, say you're in a flat, is sort of compartmentalized. Sorry, I can't say that word.
I had to think.
That's a practice. So it's safe, and it means that you're okay in that, you know, if there was a fire in the building and the firefighters would come and get you and they would rescue you. If you start going out of that flat and wandering around and there's lots of smoke, then you could actually collapse. They don't know where you are. So you need to talk to the housing provider to find out what you're meant to do. So it's always useful to know that and to know what you're meant to do and see where you are and what you're meant to do. What's happening in any kind of event, where anywhere, wherever you are, if you happen to wandering around, or you're not actually in your flat and there's a lift, do not go in the lift. A lot of people say, you know, that they live up in a top floor flat, and what would happen because you know, if there was a fire and they couldn't get to the lift, well, you wouldn't be going in the lift anyway, because if there was a power failure from the fire, you'd be trapped in the lift. So we always say don't go in the lift. So I think that's more or less, to think about bedtime. So that's the last thing. If you can have a think about bedtime, always have a nighttime routine to make sure as many things can be switched off as possible. Make sure that, you know, if you've got fires and open fireplaces and things, that you've got guards on there. Oh, that's another thing, actually, thinking about it with chimneys. Again, with the winter coming out, a lot of people might be starting to use their fireplaces for heating. That's fine, but make sure you've had it swept regularly by a chimney sweep so that they can tell you it's all safe, and make sure you use the appropriate fuel. A lot of people go out and start burning all sorts of things in their fireplaces, which is dangerous. It's going to cause then a chimney fire, so make sure you use the appropriate kind of fuel and that all the wood's dried. And as I say, make sure the bed, all your bed doors are closed at night to stop the fire from spreading, and make sure you've got clear exit routes so there isn't things on the stairs or in the corridors that you're going to trip out over. And as we said, have a telephone in your room, and always good to have a torch. You know, it's good to have a torch anyway, even if you haven't got a fire, because if you have a power cut, you've got a torch, and that can help you then, obviously, or a big light, then that's useful as well.
Yeah, and keeping the torch somewhere easily accessible, not in a cupboard up, you know.
Absolutely, where you're never so you know find exactly it. Where it is. Yeah, and one woman I spoke to many years ago, and she had been at somebody else's house and they'd had a fire, and she said that when she had the fire, she had to go outside, and she said, I didn't have a torch, and she said, I had to go outside, and I didn't have any shoes, I didn't have my slippers, and she said, we're standing outside in the cold. So she, ever since then, has always said she's kept a pair of slippers or shoes by the bed with a torch. So she's always got that. Just
what a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
That lived experience. And the stories make other people think, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It does. It does. And, you know, one of the stories that I always say, because people don't think dishwashers are going to go on fire. Well, my colleague Steve, who's operational, he went out to a fire in Biddeford a couple of years ago, and the family had gone out to do the school run, put the dishwasher on, and then they came back and there was smoke coming out of the letterbox. So it can happen. As I say, it doesn't happen very often. I've had a dishwasher for years, and touch wood, nothing's ever happened. But it can happen. So, you know, if you want to reduce the risk, don't put it on when you go out. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
So I think that, and so this visit is really important because, as I say, at the end of the day, it's all free. We can replace any equipment that you need. So if you've got old smoke alarms or carbon monoxide or anything, we can come in and give you equipment. And that's all free. And just give you lots of advice so that you're safe. And if you would like that visit, then if you let Tessa know, She can refer you through Devon Insight. And what we'll do is we'll just give you a call and phone you and make sure it's convenient to your timing. And then we just come and visit you and have a chat.
Brilliant. And I do have, I'll just check if anybody else has got questions first.
Okay.
So has anybody else got a question before I leap in?
It's Christine. I've got a couple of items, please.
Oh, excellent, Christine.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Sally, I'd appreciate your advice on two things. One is you've mentioned don't leave things charging overnight, for example. What about the televisions where they're on standby and they say leave them on because the computer updates the software at 3 o'clock in the morning and all that sort of thing?
You can leave those on. I mean, best practice would be to switch them off. And I know just recently, funny enough, in the news, I think they've said that if you have an item on standby, it costs so much a year by having it on standby. So I think, you know, a lot of people still have them on standby. So I can't say it would never happen because I couldn't tell you that. But generally speaking, that's not as bad as, you know, if you left the TV on full blaring all night.
Yeah, or indeed if you've got something on charge, like your tablet, that's a different thing, isn't it, from just a standby?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And if you've got things like Freeview boxes and things like that, you've got a little digital display on the front there. I think they're quite low voltage or low whatever, so then, you know, that's okay, because obviously people have got they don't want to be unplugging their digital Skyview boxes and things all the time.
No,
they're usually in very inaccessible places, and then there'll be a whole host of trips and falls.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, if you really wanted to save money, then we'd just say, we'll just turn the button off around the side. And that's the other thing, a lot of people can't see it, especially with the new modern screens, because I've gone out before. But if you put your fingers around the edge, you can usually feel it, and then if people do want to be able to switch it off, they can.
Okay, thank you. Now, the second thing that I'm quite risk-averse about is, for example, the plugs on a convector heater, and sometimes they feel slightly warm, and I think, is this safe? We've got an RCD, I think it's called, in the fuse box, so if anything overheats, it's meant to cut the electricity supply, but if a plug is slightly warm, is that a sign that something needs investigating, or is that quite normal?
Well, I can't really answer that because I'm not an electrician. It might be worth asking an electrician. And I know with even like the iPads and things, I know exactly what you mean, because I know the chargers get hot when I felt them. But that's why we say, certainly with iPads and computers and things, not to do it all night, because then, you know, if it is going to overheat. But it's usually the battery in the phones that overheats, I believe, as well. So I don't know the answer exactly to that, but it might be just worth it asking somebody you might know who's an electrician.
Yes, I will, thank you, because I wasn't sure if you would perhaps say, well, actually they can be a source of fire.
I'm sure they can, because anything, what we say really at the end of the day, anything that's plugged in is going to be giving out electricity, so it can catch a light really at the end of the day. But it's just being mindful of what you're going to turn off and reduce the risk really.
Yes, that is so true. Right, well, thank you very much for that. Thank you.
That's all right. But I would say have a home safety visit as well.
Yes, I think I do need to organise one. Yes.
Because they'll be able to give you all that advice when they come in as well, so that would be useful for you.
Lovely. Yes. Anybody else got a question? I'm not sure if we've got anybody else on the line.
Debbie wants to ask a question.
Jolly good.
Sally, you were talking about the CO2 monitors and giving things that you would need them for if you have a wood burner, etc., etc. The only thing that we have that is gas is the gas hob. Now, we don't have one in the kitchen, so should we have one in the kitchen? Because I don't know.
Normally you'd have it quite often the gas boilers are in the kitchen.
Our gas boiler is in the garage, so it's outside, so that's fine.
Yeah. So you shouldn't really need it for. I think what it is, we've got. I'm not technically minded, but I think they've got some kind of smell, so that if you've left the gas on, you can smell it. can't you, with, yes. with a yes. hob? Yes. So I think that's probably the reason. I mean, safety-wise, you could, you know, if you really wanted to do it, you could, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good tip, actually, because yeah. there's a lot of people, although, Debbie, like you, I suspect.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, yeah, actually, tell a lie. I've just had another look at something. You have to bear with me because it's the first home safety okay. talk I've done for quite a few years. So, because of COVID.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So actually, in our booklet, what they're saying now is it usually happens in an oven hob stove or any fuel burning appliance because it's not being correctly installed or poorly ventilated. So it could happen if you haven't had it installed
okay.
properly. So again, you know, I suppose it's best practice if it's up to you,
yes.
really.
Well, now that you've said that, we'll look to do that simply yes. because it makes sense.
Yeah. But again,
it's peace of mind.
Mm. Yes, it is.
Mm. Yeah. And have a home safety visit. I mean, they'll be able to look at that and, you know, if you need one, provide you with one.
Now, that's leading me beautifully onto my question. Is how often, Sally? Because I've spoke to people, oh no dear, I've had one of those. But how often should we be recommending people have another home safety visit? You know, because there was a time when I don't think you came out, it was about 3 years or so?
Yeah, when I first joined the service, so I've been doing this for about 7-8 years, I say, and we would say that we would go back about every 2 to 3 years. Now, what we're saying is, if your circumstances have changed, so we're very happy to go back out again. Now, it might be that the family of that person are a bit worried because they might have got a bit... their mobility or disability
yeah.
might have got worse, so they might say, well, actually we'd like mum or dad to have that another visit, please, just to check because things have changed. It might be that they've had somebody move into a house with them, you know, those sort of circumstances. So now it doesn't really matter, you know, it can be you know, we're not going to be going every week, but we could go every, you know, if we'd been 6 months ago and then things had
yeah.
suddenly changed, then we
right,
could go
okay.
back.
That's
yeah.
really helpful because I suspect that lots of people's circumstances change far more radically than they realise themselves, and it takes somebody
yeah.
from outside saying, actually, yeah, and with things like dementia on the increase and sight loss indeed, you know, people's sight
yeah.
does change. And they, because it happens gradually, they don't realise how much it has changed. And just having somebody like a fireman coming in and reminding them.
Firefighter.
Sorry. Because we love it with a young lady as well. Yeah, I think makes such a difference because they are the expert.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. We can say it till we're blue in the face or make any difference. But if someone else from another agency goes in, particularly in a uniform, it makes a difference.
Yeah, it does. And I think
wonderful. Well, considering you haven't done that for quite a while, Sally, that's very comprehensive. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's always good to have a reminder, isn't it? It's amazing
yeah,
how much you
is.
Forget.
Yeah. It's just you, like we say, we all get into bad habits. I've put my hand up. I've left my hob on. I've got a halogen hob, and it's even worse, that one, because can't see it very well because it goes red and then it goes back black. And unfortunately, the numbers have worn off on the knob. So, you know, my husband turned around and he said, oh, you've left that on. Of course, he's delighted in saying that because I work for the fire service. He said, oh, you should know better. I do know better, but I've just made a mistake like everybody else.
Actually, Sally, that's something that you've reminded me of. We had an issue not with this organisation but with another, where a care situation where they decided to renew all their kitchens, put in halogen hobs, and when this lady had very little sight, of course lost her nice clicky knob and got buttons that you can't see anyway that you press, she did exactly as you described. She managed to get it turned on one day, thought she turned it off, didn't know that there was a tea towel over the edge. And even though it's supposed to go cold, it had singed.
Really? Yeah.
Because it doesn't, the residual heat in the glass still is there, yeah. isn't it? It's not hot, yeah. hot.
No.
But you just wonder, and I don't know whether, I don't suppose the fire and rescue organisations around the country could do anything about that, but it is a worry, really.
I think you are right, Judy, because, you know, where you've got couples, you know, or somebody living and supporting, if the person who has got low vision is unable to see that there's a tea towel on the hob anyway and turns it on, you've got a problem to start with. My husband is renowned for putting things on the hob, and I'm renowned for saying don't do it, but he still does it, and, you know, I just know it's an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, and that's a really easy one that, you know, we can go in and sort of say to people, look, just be really, really careful. Don't put that. I mean, I went and did a visit years ago to an older lady in Biddeford. She'd had a fire, actually, and I'd just gone in as a sort of courtesy to see how she was. And when I went in, I saw that she had all her shopping on the top of the cooker.
Oh.
So she didn't have much space in her kitchen, so not many, you know, countertops. And I think people don't think. They just came in, popped the shopping down. And I was like, well, you know, that's not really to put that there. And people that have sort of takeaway pizzas and things, they put the boxes on the top of the cooker by. And all you need to do is knock it slightly. And before you know, you've got a fire.
Yeah.
So it's, just being really careful.
And
we've got a really good...
just don't think, do you?
No, you don't, no. We have got a really good website, so if you want to go on to our website at all, there's lots of information. I can't remember who it was. Sorry, I've got the name that was talking about the carbon monoxide. There's a huge amount on carbon monoxide. I mean, I could talk to you in depth about it, but it would look too long on this talk. But if you want to go in and find out more about it, it's got some really good information there.
Yeah.
But I would say for everybody, you know, have a visit. Because obviously the technicians can talk to you about that. We've also got a translation button on the website, so if anybody's got English as a second language, they can go down the bottom.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, wonderful. That's very good.
Yes, and it's Christine here again, Sally.
Hi, Christine.
Like to say that in addition to organising a visit, I have a friend who's been boasting about her wonderful new hearing aids, so I can now very gently say to her, you know, your smoke alarm, do you have one under your pillow? Because I'm not sure she would have thought of that. So thank you for that very useful information to pass on to her.
You're more than welcome. And with if you're a member of Devon Insight, obviously Tessa can put the referrals through if you don't want to do it yourselves. If, like yourself, Christine, you've got a friend and she's perhaps not anything to do with Devon Insight, that doesn't matter because you can still phone in for a visit. It's just we ask a few more questions, but you know, it's such a huge criteria because it's over 65, but living alone, mobility or disability, smoker, is all sorts. So, you know, I'm sure she'll get into one of those.
Yes, indeed.
Just refer. All right.
Wonderful.
Anybody got any more questions at all?
No. Sounds quiet at the moment, but that was brilliant. You probably heard I've been scribbling down a few extra notes because I think we need to feed this in on a fairly regular basis to lots of conversations. It's life threatening, and I think you've made me think again, Sally, because as fuel becomes more and more expensive, people are going to look. Maybe they're going to resurrect old fireplaces because there's a whole load of wood in the shed out the back. You know, I'll have my fire open again. I can I hadn't even thought about that. So I think we might have to come up with a little piece for our magazine. And Sally, I need your support with that, I think. In our winter magazines, you know, perhaps. Saying about it, not necessarily saying about the home visits, we did that recently, but you know, safety in terms of keeping your house warm.
Well, I think what's going to happen, Judy, I'm going to try and speak to, I've got a big team meeting next Monday down at headquarters, and I'm already wanting to talk to them and the comms team about coming out with a campaign around September time, just before the winter. That we can send out to all the partners, basically, you know, suggesting, obviously, things to use, like the oil fill radiators, maybe the heated throws,
yeah.
things like that.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
as you say, it's going to be more people can be more at risk because they are going to be trying to keep warm. And like you say, the fireplaces with the, what are they going to put in there? And, you know, if they're going to find scrap wood that might not be suitable. I've heard drift. I didn't know about this. Someone told me about driftwood, and that's not good to burn because it's full of salt. And then that does something to the chimney. So things like that as well, which I didn't know about. So
well, I think if you do produce something like that, we'd be very happy to share that because I didn't even and I could just imagine the scenario: bits of wood with old bits of paint on. Someone's stuffed in a shed. I think everybody's going to be thinking about different ways. And I think we could come up with some other suggestions together as well. So
we'd be really
happy if you ping anything you do our way.
Can I make a suggestion as well?
Go on, Debbie.
Go for it.
Centuries ago, when I was in community safety, we used to do electric blanket checks for people, and they could bring their electric blankets along to get checked, and those that were binned then got a voucher from a local supplier, so it supported the local economy too. But I think that next winter, as you're both saying, there will be a huge groundswell of people going out trying to find all sorts of ideas for trying to keep warm and digging out that old electric blanket that Granny used 2 millennia ago. And it's been folded up with other things piled on top. All the wiring will have been deteriorating over that time. So I think electric blanket checks of some kind, even if it's just awareness and perhaps working with local suppliers to get that message over, they've now become much, much cheaper than they used to be. So, you know, potentially that's something that, you know, could be done between fire services across England and you know, local suppliers to make it a big push for this winter.
I think I'll mention that to our team, because you're right, you know, electric, they are, all sorts of things are going to be coming out, so it's just making sure we can keep people as safe as possible while they're trying to keep warm, really.
An old one in bed and turn it on, leave it with all the bedding on top of it, and worse still, get into it with all that bedding on top of it, and something goes wrong. It just is too scary to think about.
You've made me, Debbie, I don't know, you might be able to help me with this, but there is a whole new generation of mattresses as well that incorporate gel on the top. And the idea is that gel keeps because of memory foam being quite hot, it reduces the impact. I wonder whether that gel is flammable. There must be something in that gel, mustn't there, that helps? There must be a chemical. It must be. And you've just said it. What happens if you've got whether it's a wheat bag or something generating that heat, or an old blanket? What on earth is the electric blanket? I just don't know. Ooh, we might have opened a can of worms.
Well, it's certainly worth looking into, Judy, isn't it?
Yeah. I think, and if the fire and rescue services could just get some information on that, are those new generation of gel mattresses more or less likely to flammable, but maybe they're safer? No idea. No idea.
And is it possible with the kind of nightwear that some people do wear, which is perhaps acrylic or man-made materials, that they're more flammable as well whilst you're actually in the bed, if that makes sense?
Oh, yes.
It almost doesn't bear thinking about.
Because children's nightwear still has to have the fire retardant, doesn't it, on it, but not adult stuff.
No.
No.
Do you know, I don't know, I'd want to go home now. Oh, bless you. Well, thank you, Sally. That was really thought-provoking, not necessarily the way I thought it would go, but it's given us some more things I think we need to investigate. But You and I will keep in touch. And just to tell you, Christine, I've sent you an email, Christine, with the number for you, because just to say, Christine lives across the Tamar, and, you know, in a land far away, but I've sent you that number so that you can organise that home visit directly.
I appreciate that. I didn't want to particularly say to Sally, there's a little complication here, so yes, thank you.
She's in that little land.
As long as she's not in Cornwall. Is she in Cornwall?
She is, yes. Across the Tamar. But that's
because I sent her
that specific number.
I do appreciate
it. Oh, the Cornwall number. Oh, fine. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. Cornwall will do visits as well, Christine, so that's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Just phone the community team and then put yourself in.
Yeah, that's lovely. Well, thank you for your time, Christy. And Debbie, Sally, it's just wonderful because to have the likes of Debbie and Christine on the phone, who are our biggest advocates and are great at spreading the word, actually what you've done today is a little bit of training.
Yeah.
That is just so valuable. And they are my go-to people when it comes to thinking things through and dotting I's and crossing T's, and they will, you know, when we come up with something, I can promise you it will be of high quality, because I shall pass it by you too for our, I think, the winter newsletter, or even maybe going into
the autumn.
The autumn one would be better, probably, to get it in early, I would say.
I think you're right. So any feedback you can provide from when you speak to your colleagues would be most appreciated.
No problem at all. All right.
Lovely.
Well, thank you so much for having me, everybody.
Oh, it's an absolute
pleasure. Thank you, Sally.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And I hope you all have a lovely day.
Thank you.
Coming out of here, Sally, your influence has made the sun come out, so thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's Sally here as well, so it's all of you being so cheerful, you see. Sun's come out.
Oh, bless you.
All right, you have a lovely day. Thank you very much.
And you. Take